This is Rakrazam, and this is another episode of In a Perfect World. And as you're about to hear, this episode was recorded back in July of 2016 with Mr. Andrew Morrissey, and we are talking about our superhuman potential. We're talking about those abilities we have within ourselves that many different cultures have exhibited, and the broad spectrum of both consciousness itself and what the human potential is. As you may know, the world seems to be in a very revolutionary time at the moment. We have this post-Trump paradigm that is upon us, and it's not even about poor old Donald. It's really about what he's the figurehead of and helping give a face to, which is this massive repressed shadow which is coming up in the world everywhere, this dichotomy which has been depressed between what reality really is, what human nature really needs to function, and what culture and society in his story for the last 10,000 years or so have been filtering and subduing. So this incredible pressure that's on planet Earth, I think we're all seeing now, this cosmic clusterfuck that seems to be happening on an emotional, on a personal, on a societal and a global level, it's necessary. These are the times. This is the zeitgeist. And the times create the conditions for the emergence of the abilities to cope with those times. Coal becomes diamonds under extreme pressure. Who knows, maybe some carbon-based life forms crack. But carbon is meant to go hard. We are meant to go hard. We are meant to evolve. We have these potentials. The maps have been laid down, and now it's time to take them up, to get off our asses and to get out there and to galactivate. So we have this superhuman potential within us, and it's time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. This is the time we've been waiting for. Let's get off our asses and stop waiting. And let's move into the light. Yes, this is In a Perfect World. I am Rakrazam. And we all have it within ourselves to be that which we really are. Let's do this. I love you all. There are no others. Aloha. And I have here on my show another very special guest, Andrew Morrissey. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Rock. How you doing, brother?
I'm really well. We were just talking before we started recording. We've been sort of virtual tag teaming each other for a few years here. And there's a couple of people in the world, but not many people in the world who do what you do and have this same sort of driver behind them and the same way they see the world. And I'm one of them. I just want to say I'm a big fan, and
thanks,
I love your Facebook pages. I love your andrewmorrissey.com, what you're doing there with the trainings you're doing and the workshop packages and the self-motivation for people. You've also just released this book, The Superpower of Intention, How Intention Affects Our Reality, your superpower series number one. But essentially, from my understanding, your key thing is we all, you know, like they say, we all have Buddha nature within us. We all have this superhero nature within us. We all have this divine expression, which many different cultures in times gone have expressed as God forms and like city powers and all these different potentialities and abilities. Mm. And we've seen this reflected currently in, you know, Hollywood media, which is really focusing on superheroes. But, you know, for 70 years now, superheroes have been in popular culture. And Philip K. Dick had this little saying. He said, "The truth is hidden amongst the trash." And I think Grant Morrison quoted that once in something. It was like basically, you know, an examination of how the superhero has evolved as a not just a meme, but as an avatar and as an inspiring sort of light in the darkness, you know, of our evolutionary biology. But it's built upon understandings of, you know, mythologies and the god forms of old. So
that's right. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Grant Morrison. I believe, like, when we first connected a few years ago, I watched one of his talks about basically just using magic as a sigil, using visualization. In his case, it was the medium of the comics. He would set an intention, it would be drawn out, it'd be written out. And to me, this excites me because I believe, you know, in 10 years from here, people will be just like, yeah, magic is a part of everyday nature and science, and it won't be such a big deal. It won't be so taboo. But it really, that talk with Grant Morrison set me off on this journey where I realized that, hey, what if I really could manifest this project where, you know, people went from training in yoga and they actually came through a whole journey of mythical development, their own mythos, their origin story. We do a whole series of branding around that. And we look deeply at some of the esoteric traditions with the siddhis in the, you know, the yogic tradition, and more so now this massive, I'd say the best time in comic history to be a comic fan, right? It's the most sales in 20 years now. So,
and they're all diversifying and they're getting, you know, well, there's political correctism, but there's still this great diversity in, you know, superhero characters and how they connect to audiences.
Yeah, that's right. And so for me, I just want to assist in the evolution of consciousness. And if comics and movies are the most popular form, let's use that. Let's use that as a tool to transform the individual, to transform the collective consciousness, and really just change the story that's going on. I'm really kind of a bit bored of how the industry is using this magic and people's imagination to pacify them. And so my project's really the opposite. It's to get people involved, completely engrossed into their own adventure, their own powers, their own mythos. And, you know, that's where I'm at with this first product launch with Superpower of Intention. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, we'll get into more detail about this, but it's really awesome because you are anchoring what is often, you know, this flight of imagination, but you're potentially giving all the background and embodying it and allowing people to seize the potential within that and to make it work for them. I think that's really empowering, like literally empowering.
Right, yeah, I agree. And I feel there's a massive gap of this. You know, I study performance for many years too. It's in the acting world. It's this sort of elitist idea that only a few can know these tools of performance, or only a few have these abilities, and the great yogi, the guy who's 20 years training. Whereas what I've discovered, and I've made it a mission to sort of travel in the last 3 years to find really technologies that people can do in about 5 minutes, and they can feel the impact, and they can, you know, have tangible results. And, you know, I think the barrier, a lot of people think, well, superpowers is, again, it's in that genre of it's not from this planet. The superhero is the elitist. It's not a part of the grounded version of humanity and the heroic nature. And it really is. And I'm really on this really fun adventure to just bring these technologies and bridge that gap between, you know, fantasy in the comic book world and the mind, body, spirit reality and the technologies of consciousness. So this is really the bridge or the gateway drug that we're working with now. So
awesome. All right, so let's get back to issue number one, Brass Tacks here. What's the secret origin of Andrew Morrissey, aka Mr. Multiverse?
Well, that's a good question. I touch a little bit in the mythos in the book about basically where I got activated fully, where I quit my three jobs. And I've been working since I was 8, doing paper rounds with my father, washing dishes, everything I could. And then I got to about 21 and I just decided that there's got to be more to this. So I talk a bit more in the book about just basically watching a movie, actually Pulp Fiction, at a moment where I just was like, this is it. There was one line from a movie where he just said, I'm just going to walk the earth and get into adventures like Kane from Kung Fu, right? And that for me was just that catalyst point where I said, okay. And I quit my three jobs and I went on to the start of a 20-year research adventure now. And Mr. Multiverse is kind of the most fascinating conversation for me because that's the heroic archetype character name I've given myself. And I think it's a fascinating conversation when we start talking about alternative realities. We start talking about the multiverse theory for me, because this conversation I'm having right now with you, Ruck, this might not have happened. And so just say we didn't meet up a minute ago and talk, there may be another version of us who are not talking. We didn't connect. We didn't meet. And that other version of us continues to go on some, right, on some alternative reality. So
yeah.
You know, I'm interested in exploring that aspect of ourself. And if we make certain decisions, if we make momentary decisions to step into the most awesome version of ourself, or we step into a different archetype, or we choose a different job or a different path, I believe we're literally crossing timelines. We're jumping timelines and we're jumping to a different version and a different reality. So,
you know, that's interesting. There's a guy on the internet called, I think it's Bashar.
Yes.
I only watched one or two of his videos, but he was saying the same. When you want to manifest, you don't try to say, all right, I'm going to win Tats Lotto or I'm going to, you know, win the lottery. But you imagine, it's like future backcasting where you imagine the outcome you want, and you sort of, somehow you're psychically tuning into the reality in the multiversal theory where that has already happened, because all space-time and all potentialities and all configurations exist in the multiverse. And the way to do it is to navigate through multiple realities and, you know, and keep moving forward. It's almost like, what is it? It's like the human centipede of multiple realities. You know, this is after-image ghosting of you as you move from one reality to another, because all worlds are possible. But having the consciousness to walk that with intent is maybe the way to manifest.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. And that's what the exciting aspect of where we're at now as humanity. There's I see a lot of people complaining about certain, you know, dramas, shall we say, or supervillains being shown on the global stage now. And I really feel from my point of view and my perspective that this is really just an opportunity for us to step into, again, the ultimate version of ourselves, whatever that looks like. I really think everyone has, you know, a really unique perspective and unique power and ability. And we're really being grinded almost and put into a corner where we have to step into just the most conscious version, the most awesome version of ourself. And that's kind of where I'm at now. And hopefully these range of, multimedia, transmedia products give up people opportunity to also just tune into the different realms within this verse, within this multiverse. So it's exciting.
So in a way, yeah, I have a similar theory. I call it like the universe makes diamonds. It's like, you know, there's a process of evolution at work, which is concressing and improving. And there's this whole, you know, under like the iceberg, 9/10 under the water of history. But it's coming to a point that it's a process, and it's asking us. Well, it's not just asking. We are the manifestation or the flowering of this intelligent evolution. And there's a point in our evolution, which is now, we're having to grasp that and to be the best us we can be, you know, diamond point will type stuff. And it's like, wow, it really does start to feel like it's all possible.
Yeah, totally. And this is the drama at play. And I feel the same. I'm just moving more into the most authentic version of myself. And really the mythos of the superhero has been really, especially for America, it's been ingrained in society. It's been from the earliest tribes, there's been some form of wanting to express through visual form, through, you know, sort of paintings on the caves from the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs. There's been this continuous need of expressing our story, expressing our creativity, and more so than now with multimedia being literally in the palm of our hands. We have this incredible technology, and again, we can use it unconsciously or we can actually use it consciously. And the fact that we have this in our hand now, for me, just signals a time where we're transitioning back to where, especially as a child, we kind of came into the world knowing that we were fully telepathic, is how I see it. And after some time, we sort of realize that our mum and dad don't actually have that ability anymore. We have to communicate through sound and through crying. And so I think a lot of these abilities that I'm referring to are really quite simple and unique, and we're really born with them. They're in our innate nature since we were young. And so remembering this full circle moment we're coming back to now, where we're being almost forced or put into a corner of, yeah, we have to actually bring some of these abilities back into focus. A lot of them, from what I'm talking about, is not as dramatic as, say, Wim Hof. Although, you know, Wim Hof and some other people are involved in our project, they're more subtle, like intuition, empathy, compassion, and insights that for me are exciting. They're more subtle and accessible to everyone who just really has, you know, a few minutes in the day to just tune into it. So, yeah.
So, I mean, there's quite a bit to unpack there. Wait a sec. So
some of the gamut of potential states. I mean, if you used a different paradigm and a different language for it, this is sort of optimization. You know, if you're meditating or you're doing, you know, martial arts, or you're fully utilizing the capabilities that previous cultures have shown, there are these, you know, revolutionary, potentially superhuman abilities that people have, you know, aren't there? There's yeah. capabilities that it's just in the sort of the compressed Western culture and the little gamut of experience they give us, it's when we don't usually tap into. But you mentioned a few of them, intuition, other things. What are some of the practical applications, or what are some of the possibilities you see that we can tap into?
Well, I start the first series at intention. I really feel intention is where the start of setting the heart's intuitive intelligence. So we set a clear intention in the heart field, in the resonance of the heart field, right? As heart maths is proving that the heart field is 60 times greater than the energy around the mind, for example. So these practical applications just come day to day, where we have a really clear, precise intention behind what we're doing. We really start to become aware of these aspects of what's this unconscious aspect of ourself, really? Why am I having these really dark, competitive thoughts about this person when this person could collaborate with me? So on a day-to-day basis, they have a really good application, in the sense of we just, once we start seeing them, and, you know, we learn the gifts from the shadow and the unconscious self, and we bring that gift forward, and we actually step into, in the book, I just cut, you know, really make it simple. You got the unconscious, you got the conscious, and then you've got the superconscious. And in the superconscious, we're stepping into a different version of ourselves. As we said, we're sort of owning that multiverse version of ourself. And for example, the hero is really a good one to start with. And we just start taking more heroic posts with more heroic conversations, just more positive energy moving forward and collaborating with people, instead of falling into that shadow voice of, you know, this person's doing the same as me and da, da, da. You know, the programming is in the society is quite fascinating, especially now. I think you know, that a lot of documents are being released on a lot of the old programs that have been researched in this area by the CIA and the MK Ultra programs, and 90,000 documents just got released this month, actually. So I feel
not MK Ultra, on CIA stuff.
Yeah, basically on telepathy. Ah. I've got the article there somewhere, but so on a day-to-day basis, I feel these natural abilities have been deliberately, in the movie industry, in the advertisement industry, and obviously in the special secret programs in the CIA, have been used as a weapon against us. And that simply is they haven't wanted us to wake up and realize that they're actually at our fingertips. They're actually – we don't even have to leave the house to gain them. We don't have to go to a yoga class. We don't have to even go to a kung fu school. We can just stay in our room, you know, and watch a video and plug into some sounds – and get in tune with these natural powers of perception.
Yeah, I like that take on, you know, that is it, like, you know, we're talking about MK Ultra and the CIA and culture itself and the machinations of that, and the way that we've been, you know, it's almost like a battery farm of consciousness on planet Earth these days. But the interesting thing for me, like 7 years going back of the superhero, you know, they originally evolved from the Mystery Men, and this was around... It's almost as if there's that idea that the zeitgeist or the time creates the opportunity for things to come into fruition. So when it's time for telephones, everyone gets the idea for telephones. Or when it's time for, you know, there's yes. fad. It's not just that there's a fad. It's just that the zeitgeist holds a circuit board for the idea to come through. And it comes from perhaps some Platonian archetypal, you know, Akashic field or something, or, you know. But the idea of the superhero, again, it's in a modern culture or 20th century, it was basically the rebirth of the god form, what all the pantheons that went before it had, the Greek, the Roman, the Norse. And what did they do? They integrated all those ones into their you know, four-color comic book ones. But they started out with the Mystery Man, who didn't have the power, like even before Superman. DC, when it was Detective Comics, it was like the Crimson Avenger and things like that, like the Shadow or the Green Hornet. It was, you know, it's a guy with a gun, essentially. But essentially, you know, then you can go back to Lone Ranger or whatever. But it's essentially, it's this figure that stands up and is doing the right thing. And they had to go outside the law because the powers that be in the original supervillains were, again, this is in the late 30s, they were the oligarchs and the basically like the CEOs of their day, or the money, the vested interest money people who are against the everyday people. And the mystery man was there on the streets where the crime was a ramification of the system itself. And they were there righting wrongs person to person, heart to heart, you know, however they did it with their mask, because they were outside the law. And then came the Superman, and that changed everything.
And exactly, and even the, if you look at the origin of the Superman, right, even, you know, he was from another planet, he had abilities that were, you know, crazy cool, but again out of the reach of the average person. And then we had the polarity change with Batman coming in after that, where he didn't have any abilities but he was a billionaire. So there's this continuous story that seems to be out of reach of the common people. And this is, for me, the bridge right now we're in this great space where we actually have the technology, the old gatekeepers who were controlling the narrative and the story of how this collective mythos gets created. It's changed. We are individually getting on Instagram, getting on your podcast here, Aki, you know, and we're getting on this aspect of, oh, we can actually, well, we can present ourselves how we want, and we get to be the gatekeepers of how we see ourselves becoming in the future as well. So yeah, it's a great, you know, and hence why we're seeing collapses of so many old paradigm media industries, and they're going to keep tumbling like a domino, so we say. And it's a good thing, because the people now are realizing we have the technology, you know, we have an interesting life, and more people are stepping into that heroic version of themselves, where it's like, you know what? I'm going to work for myself, or I'm going to do my own book and travel to the Amazon and do my own programs with people, you know? So this really is, again, it's just an exciting time to be able to, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, there's all this potentiality, and it's like, first, and you know, I've been heavily influenced by Grant Morrison as well, I must say,
right.
the maestro, yeah. Him and Alan Moore and, you know, Neil Gaiman, but especially Grant Morrison with his psychedelic edge, you know, but there's so many good sort of dissections and deconstructions he's done of the hero myth itself. And I guess the idea, one of his key things is like, you know, it's like the idea of it. The idea of it must transmit across these multiple parallel universes, whatever. And, you know, he was drawing upon like decades and decades of really kitschy comic book, you know, scenarios. But within them, within the absurdity of these trashy comics, which were given to children to read, there is these incredibly pure God-formed truths, which still ring true. And if you want to pack an old 50s or 60s comic, and then the pacing of it, it's even paralleling, you know, modern cinema, where everything's speeded up nowadays, and back then it was slower. In like six panels to a page, or even five panels to a page in the classic 60s sort of pacing, they would have like the most embedded conceptual, you know, density of like all this stuff going on of like shrink rays and mind transfer and, you know, multidimensionality and all this stuff, which was absurdist because it packs so much in. But the more we actually start to evolve as a culture, and we realize all of those embedded things, they're all sort of starting to come true. We've got all the quantum stuff. We've got all distributed consciousness stuff. We've got like everything is becoming more and more probable and possible. And the idea of it, of this hero and the empowered one, and the difference between perhaps someone that's just got powers or just got technology, but someone who is called to action, there's a difference in that. But what I'm getting at as well is, the idea of powers is one thing, and we're now at the cusp of, you know, two decades into the 21st century, where you could actually be a superpowered mystery man or woman on the urban streets or wherever you live, and you could use technology. I mean, you could you can have your camera phone, you can have your Google Glass, and you can have your all these technological abilities. And you mentioned Batman before. Many of the original superheroes, they had gimmicks. They had a piece of technology that worked for them that allowed them to go out. We could be live streaming, broadcasting to Facebook, you know, and there's been all those rashes in the last few years of like kitschy real world superheroes. There's like, look at the Phoenix
real
Avenger
life superhero
or something.
Project.
It's like guys that go out in wrestling suits and spandex and go out to try to fight crime and have quite often disastrous repercussions. but they're not thinking it through. It's like, always come back to the golden rule. What would Batman do, right?
Exactly.
What would Batman do?
Exactly. The real-life superhero project had a good spin to it, you know, with people initially realizing we could fight crime, like literally copying the mythos of the comic book genre. But yeah, I like more of sort of what Stan Lee was heading up in his series of Superhumans, where he actually traced around the world. And similar, I've been traveling around the world to bring a group of heroes where I could just really, you know, I'm looking at this Marvel character guidebook here, and it baffles me the amount of millions they've spent on this industry, when what I'm interested to do now literally is create a superpower series. So I'm starting with my own superpower mentoring series with Webbite. I've got some programs worked out there. But I'm more interested in really documenting a whole league of natural powers from different individuals from around the world. I've got guys from Shaolin, Wudang, Master Zhao. You know, we've got some Guinness Book records on board as well. I really want to create a real-life superhero archive of powers, so people can really, you know, get past this idea that these powers are not accessible to the average citizen. They are. I mean, literally. And as you said, you know, what would Batman do? We've got these technologies. We're essentially billionaire immortals, as far as I'm concerned. So we just really just need to start using them more, is kind
Elon
of
Musk,
how I'm seeing.
it's the Tony Stark syndrome. It's like we have people with great resources and they're putting their money into, we're on the cusp of biotech breakthroughs, as you say, immortality, you know, changing the genetic structure, grafting on the abilities of one creature onto another, you know, and,
Right.
you know, can we graft on human gills? Can we breathe underwater? Can we just basic things, enhance strength, speed, reflexes? I think the Russians are all doing that with their Olympic team at the moment. You know, it's like we really are living in superhuman times, aren't we?
We really are. And I watched Shaolin Soccer, which is classic from the 1990s, of these guys doing amazing abilities in soccer. And really, this is the time now where I literally, I'm sure you would agree, I can't keep up with the amount of inventions that are being created on a daily basis. You know, whether it be the gills that you can actually swim underwater and it breathes, it changes the molecules of water into oxygen now. So, I
I
mean,
saw that one, yeah.
we literally are living in a time that people used to consider science fiction, and really, it's just an opportunity for us to just keep moving forward. Hey, you know, individually, and a lot of people are just coming to realize, and I suppose that's why I'm really just sort of pushing this book forward in the sense of letting people know in a very simple way that, yeah, we've got these abilities, and, you know, let's kind of get on with that and actually start developing them even more. And we can have more conversations like we saw in Superhumans. Even though Superhumans was a little, you know, on the edge dramatically, as far as, you know, finding Shaolin monks who can drill their head and things. But, you know, I think more on the subtle day-to-day ways and how we can get along better as humans in our community and just go out and share our gifts in more collaborative ways.
Well, tell me more about, you mentioned the Shaolin monks, and so what are, I mean, have you got direct analogies, and you've got like, you know, there's lots of different comic book related industry sort of guidebooks and breakdowns of powers and things. You've got your enhanced senses, your strength, speed, you know, essentially Superman's just enhancing all the things that are already there. Then you've got, you know, other capabilities, flame generation, energy manipulation, telepathic sort of stuff, mental sort of abilities. They break down into different type of genres, aren't they?
Exactly.
What are some of the overviews, and what are some of the real world analogues that you've noted?
Well, I've been watching what's going on, you know, and it really, it's so unique with each individual. You know, you had Ben Underwood, who had his eyes removed at the age of 6, who could literally created ultrasound for himself that was more advanced than dolphins, where he would just do a clicking noise in the room and he could see from that sound. So
Wow.
it's really, I found from my journeys, it depends on the trauma the individuals had, will depend on how much they've worked on their ability. So
Well, this is the Batman thing again, isn't
yeah,
it?
it
Oh, you
really is.
know,
It
like,
really, it's an incredible
it's
platform to
what's your
work with.
driver, and how deep did it go, and how much can you maintain that to keep you moving forward?
Right. And so, you know, I suppose a lot of the generation, you know, including myself, have been quite spoiled. We've just sort of tinkered around with a few abilities, with some of the more, like I said, I've reached out to some people all around the world to sort of get a more dramatic story, and it really has to do with the trauma they've been through, whether it be a passing, a sudden passing of someone that's brought on their absolute absolute drive to activate these cities or these powers. So it's the good thing about the platform of the comic book mythos is that, you know, just like I'm a geek, you know, I like to stay home and watch the latest Daredevil series on Netflix and see how they're representing that on film. Similar to ourselves, now we can really geek out on the sense of that we have these abilities and they're completely going to be different than the person next to me. So I think, you know, where if you, as opposed to if you go to a, you know, maybe just a yoga class and you learn, everyone is learning one movement, it really becomes group exercise, which is great in itself. But I think what's even more exciting is when we align these abilities, we get to really find our strengths and really focus on that, you know, sort of focus on our strengths. I think it's just a general rule even in business, right? For me, I'm running a multimedia company, Nexus Skate, and I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. And I've got more intelligent people working on the area that I have my weaknesses in. So I think similar with abilities, we have certain intuitive abilities that give us an indication, okay, I need to work on this a bit more. And that's kind of where we're at. So,
just for people that don't know, we've mentioned the term cities, which, you know, maybe isn't phonetic if people could spell that out. But I mean, what's your take on that? Those abilities that in the Indian traditions that they've the connection to superpowers.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm really interested in the cities. I got more interested. I did some pretty hardcore training. I did about three different apprenticeships with different yoga people from around the world. And I got to a point where I realized that form's just form. You know, when we move into the formless is more exciting for me personally, especially as a storyteller. And so the cities, from my understanding, are these internal powers that align with these energy vortexes. Which chakras are their traditional name. And I find very few schools actually teach that about the chakras. And I think, you know, if guys are really interested in it, I think the key, and this again comes into the mythos story, but again, a lot of these powers in these cities come to us in the middle of the night when we're training, we're doing headstand, or we're going through these forms to move these energies, these chakras, these vortexes of energy. When they move, we kind of, these abilities from my experience happen in their own way and in their own space. So again, a lot of these stories where you see a lot of the ancient ninjas or the ancient yogis practicing in their by themselves or practicing at midnight, or this really has, from my understanding and research, this has some real credibility to it, that these cities happen in a way that are really subtle, and if you sort of boast about them, or if you show off, or even sometimes if you verbalize too much about them, they kind of, from my experience, kind of dissipate a bit. So I think it's an interesting experiment. I recommend anyone experiment.
What are the cities for people that don't know? What type of enhancement of abilities come from them? What are some of the common?
Well, good question. I think, you know, some people have telepathy. Some people have heightened sense of being able to feel the frequency of what people are thinking. They can feel vibrations. The people are very visual orientated. And then, of course, you've got the really exaggerated aspects of where you become an energy healer. You've got this guy, Qigong master in Indonesia, who we're in contact with, where he can actually, you know, set from his energy, set paper on fire. Wow. And I think, you know, I've got the medical Qigong. I'm fascinated by the medical Qigong area as well. These guys, have you seen these guys that stand around there because they do some breathing movement, very shamanic, they get faster and faster. They set an intention that their patient, for example, has got cancer. They set an intention that this person's already healed and the cancer's dissipated, it's gone. And then they actually bring that into form. And they've got some live footage of that, of the literally the cancer node sort of warping in and out until it totally dissipates. So to me, that's one of the samples.
Ultimate mind over matter, huh?
Yeah. And this excites me the most about energy training, when people can use it through healing, can use it to, you know, sort of sense where someone's at intuitively, you know, if you know someone's in a space of like, oh, I just got to leave them alone. So a lot of these powers that, again, they're individual. So,
And so things like, you know, even potentially levitation or walking over hot coals and, you know, in martial arts sort of ability that they can put their fist through all those bricks and, you know, there's dynamic examples, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, you've got the traditional Shaolin guys who basically travel around as a circus now showing the iron shirt training. So it can be used to different capacities. And I think what's interesting too now where we're headed is what happens if we all just say, you know, say 500,000 people just decide that we want to be able to fly. I mean, what would actually happen if the collective story, the collective consciousness just decided that? I mean, I think I don't have any realms of what is possible and what is impossible. I just kind of keep in that gray area. I just feel in the future, as the collective wakes up, we're going to have some interesting things happen. But I think right now we're seeing basics of energy healing being awoken, aligning the chakras, getting our internal intuition, really important. I think as a kid, we had it and school drilled it out of us and drilled our creativity out of us. And for me, I just keep it simple. Imagination, creativity, intuition, I think are the core three I'm working on personally, and everything else is just sort of a bonus.
Mm. Well, tell us about the more in-depth about the program that you've created. And there's been a few before this, like where are you at and what have you learned? What do you teach people?
Well, I've run a few programs in Thailand previously, or I've brought together different groups from around the world to sort of work on technologies. The individual ones I'm working on, the Superpower series in particular, is really just, it's one-to-one. I work with people and I hone in what their ability is. Basically, I use different technologies to find what is their ability, and then we develop a form around that using different traditions. It's a really unique creative process. I'm really not sure how to describe it other than, I suppose, it's branding for superheroes, shall we say.
Cool.
Yeah, it's fun, and I've had a lot of tests with working with people, created a few branding series with the Pillar of Light is one series I worked with David Beaudry. I had a great opportunity to work with the Qi Revolution, which is kind of the biggest Qi gong group in the world, and they do a tour around America. So I've had opportunities to test out the Superpower series on people who were already established, and that's kind of where I'm at now. I work with the media company, I work with the series of comic books that I'm working with that tell this story that I've been going through, put about 100,000 into developing this series. And then on the branding side, I work personally with people in taking them through just a journey of how they can see their own powers and how we can develop that even further. So it's really fun.
Awesome, awesome. I've got a friend in the States, the Tea Fairy. And she's big on the superhero meme as well. And I think she used to run very briefly years ago, like a boot camp for superheroes. And they'd take them like skydiving and get them, you know, confront their fears and make the leap and jump. And through a more simpler format, but the idea of really embodying and anchoring this potential within.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, exactly. A lot of these, I'm reading some of the comments on the book now, actually, just sort of, it's interesting to see this, the neurons that sort of fired up in the brain, new pathways are being created, and see how people go from, even in the review saying, although superpowers are not real, I'm really enjoying this book. So it's like, great, this is exactly what we want to create, right? New pathways within the brain, within consciousness, and most importantly, the stories. So the comic in this series, I hope to have the first issue released this year. So everything's going really well, and the flow of, obviously there's a lot of people working with this meme, and it's great because this, obviously there's 20 something movies by, you know, sort of Marvel and DC being put in the works for the next 3 years, so it's certainly not going away in a hurry.
Well, what do you think? I mean, there seems like there's a feedback loop and almost a psychic pressure. And again, I think it all comes down to, like, you know, the meme and the idea wants to be born. I mean, or to be reborn in our culture of the God forms, and of the fact that, you know, the God within, it's like the, it's this season of consciousness, and, you know, there's this potential activation time. And it's such a common meme in, you know, superhero origin stories, is something happens, something outside the ordinary, but all this psychic pressure from Hollywood putting it on and putting it out there in the ether, it's got to be infecting people's imaginations. And, you know, there's got to be some type of rising, you know, excitement on the inside, even if people aren't sharing it on the outside. But we're seeing a rise in, like, not just popularity of comic books, but cosplay and things like that, people dressing as superheroes. And more it's seeming to sort of come out into the real world, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Giving people permission to just step into another version of themselves, to try that out, to play with it, whether it be a cosplay, whether it be their favorite superhero, whether it be, hey, I'm already an established yoga person and I'm this already out as a person practicing yoga, then they can fully embody that certain character and costume. And to me, that's the exciting aspect. I researched a lot of this at uni, actually. I had an amazing amount of time to just research alchemy and magic and performance and sort of work how we can, you know, use these abilities, especially through the modern meme now, giving us so much juicy content. I mean, we've got Ant-Man, you know, coming out. We've got obviously the X-Men coming out. We've got some incredible movies. Black Panther just came out. So we've got such a rich template to work for our own mythos development and our own, you know, celebrating our own abilities. And again, I think a lot of this is just sort of coming to the surface of making that connection. Obviously, this conversation is going to help people just to bridge that aspect of, like, yeah, wow, you know, a single mum's. I mean, come on. My sister's a single mum living in up in the North Mountains, and hearing her life and what she's doing with her daughter and everything. I mean, this total superhero as far as I'm concerned. So that whole shift of us seeing ourselves and our versions of ourselves is where we're at. And again, I really like the movie and comic industry. We have that as a resource to learn about ourselves. I just think there's been a lot of programming by the industry to make it look like we can't possibly be a superhero. You know, there's a lot of out of reach, you know, sort of not worthiness going on along the programming. But obviously now it's completely changing as we demystify Hollywood, as we demystify the magic of acting, and we demystify these characters and bring them down to earth, you know, real life heroes from earth.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on, though. There's been some criticism or some feedback within the comic industry itself, like basically the Marvelization. Marvel does Marvel very well, you know, and even in the comics in the 60s, they were more believable, more realistic, where DC was more, you know, golden age, god forms, more, you know, I'll get the cat out of the tree and say, and do good deeds. And it was noble, but there was a higher level of not quite as realistic. And so Marvel movies have translated very well with modern audiences. But now there's been this inverse sort of kickback from DC where they've tried to copy that. And, you know, the feedback to the last DC movies like Superman, Man of Steel, and then Superman versus Batman, although I enjoyed, you know, large aspects of them, you know, Superman killing. I mean, this is the thing. DC heroes originally had this code of integrity, and it was almost like, you know, gods coming to earth, and they have to be bigger than life, larger than life of the frailties of human egos, where Marvel comics are all about human egos and Tony Stark suiting up, and it's more realistic. But there's generally the what I've been hearing is the output from that is there's the grim and grittiness of what happened post-Dark Knight in the 80s. Watchmen and Dark Knight was sort of the turning post within the comic book industry, and that's paved the way for the respectability in the mainstream film industry, is that superheroes can be grim and gritty too. They can be realistic, they say. But there's something about the superhero avatar that, at least with the DC heroes, they've been realizing the public wants hope, not just this gritty realism as the world goes to hell in a breadbasket. They want something they can believe in, that someone is holding that vibration of purity, which is really a role that some of the superheroes can play. You know, even within Marvel, perhaps Spider-Man and other things like that have got that, but a lot of the other ones like Wolverine and such are a bit more darker characters, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, really good points. I mean, I really don't know where the industry's going to be taking these. Definitely Marvel are on a winning streak as far as what I'm seeing on the reviews, and sort of DC, and I think it's Warner Brothers that are backing them up. They're sort of deviating. Obviously, the Superman and Batman didn't go down that well with the audience. I think it's interesting how they use that, you know, and also I suppose touching on again mind programming, MK Ultra, and these sorts of things. It would be interesting that they would be releasing the whole series of superheroes fighting against each other in Captain America as Civil War this year. So I think there's some really clear misuse of storytelling, and especially once Disney took over. I mean, Disney are pretty much responsible for all the MK Ultra programs as far as I know. So I think it's a very good point.
Really? Well, Disney?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very much.
Didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how they take where they take Marvel, and I've seen, again, as a storyteller, for me, it's all really good to see different aspects of the comic book industry come to life. But at the same time, I'm not sure if they're using it responsibly for the collective consciousness.
Well, this is the thing. The comic book industry was sort of like this, you know, backwater little incubator for ideas, right, where they could get away with anything. And every 7 to 10 years, the zeitgeist would change, and, you know, out goes the campy red kryptonite Superman with a big head, and in comes more realistic or whatever. But they'd go through phases. And Grant Morrison's commented on this, that there seems to be not just attention spans, but sort of zeitgeist phases where the comic books reflect the culture and the flavor of the times a lot more immediate, because you don't have to wait 3 years till the next movie. It's month to month, you know, so there's a lot more immediacy. But around, coincidentally or so, around 2000, 2001, Mark Miller did the very influential Ultimates, which re-envisaged, you know, a lot of the Marvel characters like the Avengers, and made them basically like extensions of the American psyops military industrial complex, working for the government as rapid response squads. And so it was the next phase for Marvel to be more realistic. But in doing so, it's extended that whole energetic to the superhero and made them soldiers. Now as we talk about their effect of Hollywood on mainstream influence, it's feeding back to mainstream cultures and kids, right? And a lot of people, you know, and it's like, wow, there's the superheroes, but they're sort of like American, you know, MK Ultra soldiers with superpowers. So it's a dangerous path that they're treading.
Yeah, really good point. You know, my business partner, Tim McClure, would have a lot to say about that. Is really well researched. But yeah, I mean, just to touch on that, I think the militarization of the superheroes is obviously a concern from, you know, sort of media makers like ourselves. I'm definitely inspired by that misuse of the medium to actually bring conscious tools and multimedia to the forefront. This is why I'm so driven with our Nexus Gate Studios, our company that we've created, and we're selling a percentage of the company this year. We're going to LA to, you know, sort of connect with some big players, because I feel like, yeah, there's a massive misuse of the, you know, the industry right now as it is. I'm not happy with it, obviously. They're misusing the imagination of the youth. They're militarizing it. I mean, Jason Bourne and the Avengers is not a lot of difference. It's like, you know.
Well, you know, the famous quote from Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. I think that was Uncle Ben who said that.
Exactly. And our agent in LA is really, you know, he's working directly with Stan Lee and a lot of these people. So we get a lot of insider information, and a lot of these companies are kind of at a real crisis point, to be honest. And so I think this is the opportunity now where us people who want to change the collective consciousness come forward. And just for me, actually, to start a media company was a big, it was sort of return home, because I gave up my creative plays and my creative research to, you know, pursue consciousness and spirituality and technologies. And so now I'm coming full circle, where I'm actually bringing my first love, which is film. I went to film school, back into the mix, where I can actually represent this in a responsible way. Definitely not happy to see how the movie industry is using people's imagination as a weapon, essentially. So.
Well, interestingly enough, just in DC Comics in the last few months, they've had this rebirth brand, you know, within their comic line, because they went all sort of Marvelized and more grim and gritty, and it wasn't resonating with readers. But they actually used as the plot device for the rebirth sort of catalyst that the villain is Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen, and they're touching upon this core issue of something happened energetically with the purity of at least the DC line and what they were meant to stand for, that they've been corrupted and they've gone going back to their sort of pure roots. So, you know, I think that, yeah, as superheroes move in, the idea of them moves into the real world, and I think this you're on this frequency as well, is retaining the integrity of the overarching archetype versus the commercialization of the archetype.
Yeah, exactly. You know, let's hope the fans continue to just stand up for what they've fell in love with, as opposed to what Hollywood is making comic book movies into. That the fans can actually have a big say in, you know, for example, Deadpool was created, the leaking of that footage basically got it made. The fans just insisted it got made. And it was really great that, you know, at least Deadpool was breaking the fourth wall and sort of directly connecting with the audience. So, yeah, I think the movie industry is definitely sort of has to pull its pants off, essentially, because I feel that the fans are just going to protest if they sort of get too off track and militarize the movie industry. And more so, I think, now with streaming and people being able to stream. And also, I think, too, what I'm interested in is staying on the cutting edge of where technology and attention is.
Yeah.
And so that's where the youth are at. And so I'm also looking at VR as a form of learning, these forms as well. Uh-huh. So, yeah, just that'd staying be, on that cutting edge.
Tell me about that. So basically, you're pitching your media company in Hollywood to explore the public, you know, playing with the superhuman archetype, and then VR would be a really natural progression, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think the introduction of the 360 camera the last few years is just really coming forward now, where people can film in 360 degrees. You've got, you know, YouTube can already host that. You've got Facebook Live that can already host that. So in the series we're looking to do, we're looking at just to bring the basics of that in first, where people can have a much sort of circular perspective of the training and these aspects. But we're also working on a how do we say, sort of portable version of an actual, you know, sort of how they have the technology connected to the body. You're in a small green room and you can then have a class in a virtual reality where people can see their training and how their knee is positioned. They can see the form in relationship to the instructor.
Oh, so the virtual danger room.
Hmm. Awesome. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of like I said, a lot of people are sort of like, oh, you're going to go down that way. Well, I'm like, if that's where the attention is, that's where we've got to be. You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, I entered the virtual world to a next degree last week with my 14-year-old daughter, and we started playing Pokemon Go. But I imagine, like, you know, there's this whole momentum of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people that are going to be really engaged in augmented reality ongoingly from this point on. And then if you're just doing it in a rudimentary sense through your phone and holding it up and seeing another player in their superhero sort of outfit and in their avatar form, I think that's more and more where it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think technology will move away from being sort of microwave technology where we're actually creating harm, and it will become safe. And we'll use it as tools to learn and reconnect with these superpowers. That's how I see this story narrative going, and I'm just going to stick with that. And, yeah, so I see it as an exciting element. And, again, nothing wrong with games. Nothing wrong with playing and getting interacted into the augmented reality. I just feel it's an exciting possibility to get people to train and just really – be on that cutting edge. If this is where the technology is going, obviously our agent in LA is, this is where it's going, you know, so let's bring an element into that. And, you know, again, I can't listen to people complaining about technology. I just think we've really just got to change that narrative in the story and just really say, okay, technology is here to assist us in reconnecting with these abilities. And they can, and they are.
So that's it. You just got to control the tool and be in control of it. Hey, we've talked a little bit twice here about this idea of the superhero avatar or the costume. Andrew. Mr. Multiverse. Tell me more about this. You said a bit about your Mr. Multiverse avatar, but the idea of the costume is really important in many different cultures, in shamanic cultures, and the idea of, you know, totems and symbols and masks, and all of this has resonance and power, not just theatrically, but magically, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I'm working on more and explaining that in the Superpower series. But I think in short, as soon as I have a row of hats, the hats is basically my character's way of portaling through different dimensions. And when I put on a hat, I go through a little ceremony, a little dance, put on a little music. And it's very special. You know, it's just a real shift of perspective. And I place on that hat and I am ready to do a coaching session with someone, or I'm ready to just go up shopping, you know, depend on the hat. Or sometimes I'm just take all hats off. So shifting into character from my studies is really important part of ceremony, and getting into this space where you're just like, hey, I'm shifting now, you know, hopping into a loose pair of yoga pants, you know, rolling out the mat, whatever it is rituals. Yeah, we get into state via rituals. So I think having a lot of fun with this, and instead of dressing up as your favorite superhero, why not start exploring as yourself, dressing up as an alternative version of yourself? And so Mr. Multiverse is my social media name, and I'm exploring more of that in the aspect of that is really the ultimate version of myself from the future coming into play. And obviously the birth of these products in the comic and the first Amazon series is a literal embodiment of that future version of myself, which we have glimpses of. And I think this is where the exciting thing of playing with the imagination, daydreaming even, just, you know, imagining, for example, I'm looking at a massage course here. I'm looking at three in Melbourne. I'm imagining, have done the course. If I set up a clinic, what does that look like? What does the next 3 years look like as a person, as a masseur character? And I can literally go through that whole 3 years and then come back to now and go, yeah, no, it's not really in my timeline right now. So it sounds simple enough, but I think they're really just this idea of daydreaming, getting into costume, and literally I like, again, the multiverse theory. We've talked about it a couple of times. I like literally have tangible evidence in my world of where I've gone back to a memory of how I dealt with a certain person. And it was, you know, it might have been really heated emotionally and it was all good and everything. I went back to that memory and I literally changed my reactive nature. I changed the way I was breathing. I changed everything about that memory. I came back to the moment and literally that relationship that was really bitter had completely transformed. So yeah,
awesome.
I think it's fascinating. So.
Oh, I came across an old photo of me in my first blush of the Doof rave days. And okay. I had some wonderful superhero outfits, not just, you know, established superheroes, but my favorite one, which I'm going to reclaim, I've made a pact with myself to get this again, was just a basic skeleton outfit, which again is, you know, the old idea of the autonomy of yourself from the bones up, as the pirates would say. Mm. A skeleton outfit with basically a love heart and a lightning bolt. That's always been my superhero symbol, is a lightning bolt to the love heart. And I think it's important. And also, all of this is a magical act. You know, you create your persona, but you use some key terms there of like, you know, your future self or your most optimized self, and you anchor it from the future, and then you backcast and start to implement and you reel it in, you know. And so I think, you know, in my case, I never really gave up on that. When they say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I've always said a superhero, and I've never really given up on that.
Well, your name, can you tell me more about your name? I mean, you can't get more superhero than your name.
Hello, I know. Well, that was actually my rebirth, you know, first outdoor party, a lot of different substances involved, catalysts, you know. What happened to the Flash? That whole wall of chemicals fell on him, you know, right. and hit by lightning at the same time. Imagine that at an outdoor party, you know, that type of thing. And day three, you know, on the dance floor, and Rakrazam had a rebirth. It's out there somewhere on the web. You can see their secret origin story.
Fantastic. That makes sense. I mean, it's great. And it's all little small details that we miss in our day-to-day busyness. And really, a lot of what I'm here to do is really just remind people of that simple aspect and just give them technologies to tune into it, whether it be 5 minutes or 30 minutes. So I think what's interesting in the way I'm presenting it is within the comic book. The comic book itself has been a real challenge to manifest, but it's already manifested. It's coming. Issue one is going to be this year. But the book was actually quite easy, and the Vimeo series connecting each other. And I'm fascinated, obviously, by the multi-levels of things. So I like the fact that if someone doesn't want to read it, I'm finishing the audiobook this week. They can listen to the book. And if they want to go further, they can look at the Vimeo series, which is like $4 or something. They can just get an instant download.
Well, give us your plugs. Where do people find this material?
We have a link somewhere there. There's a link. I think it's Vimeo/superpowers. I'd have to check.
Sure. Well, your website's Andrew.
It's a link on the
MORRISSEY, and we'll have those links in this episode.
AndrewMorrissey.com. There's some links there, but it's a fun process. I'm just glad to finally have a chat with you. I remember the last time we spoke was. It seemed to be there, and I suppose you know more about it in the sense of there's been a real shift of planets in different in this last month. It felt like a lot of the idea that came to me in 2012 has fully launched this month. So something astrologically has aligned.
Yeah, well, I think things have gone forward just from some recent retrograde planetary action. But I mean, this is the thing. It's like there's cycles within cycles, and there's zeitgeist and there's new zeitgeist, and reality seems to override itself like magnetic tape being recorded over and over, and the future affects the past, and everything is superhuman, and it's all happening right here, right now, Mr. Multiverse Rakrazan. Shazam!
Yeah. Shazam, baby!
Oh, I'm so excited. So tell me, we've said where people can find you. What do you think is going to be the takeaway of this this resurgence of the superhuman meme, and if people anchoring it through courses like what you're doing in the books and the media, where's it going to go, Andrew, Mr. Multiverse?
Well, people gathering dressed up as themselves, you know, gathering on street corners in Tokyo as their favorite self, as opposed to, you know.
Yeah, my teenage self has thought about this a lot. It's like, right, so where are these bank criminals that used to be the fodder for the average superhero? the real criminal is the system itself of capitalism and of, like, you know, the whole structuring of energy and time, money and slavery and debt. And it's like, you know, some of the best activists I've ever seen have been, like, you know, anti-globalization activists, environmental, like, they're the superheroes. You know?
Right. You've got the hacker hero. Mr. Robot is so popular now, right?
Yeah. This is the thing, right? The difference between someone with powers and a hero is a hero rises to fill the gap or the need of the community when there's something that needs to be righted. There's a wrong energetically. It's a very shamanic, magical sort of rebalancing. And it's like, we look at our world now, it's all hitting the fan. There's never been a greater time of a need for the superhero within to come out.
Yeah, well said. I mean, there's a lot of people that just contacted me that are kind of freaking out right now in America. And I just get to the simple fact that, are you making that shift and actually going in and practicing your energy? Are you practicing with your energy? Are you playing with your energy? Are you doing your superhero forms? And really, it comes down to a discipline. A lot of people are just not embodying. They're getting out of their body. They're getting into a fear space. So I think right now, it's really where we have to take that step from the story we're telling ourselves of why we don't have time. You know, why are we playing the victim? You know, the supervillain has control of everything right now, and they're going to do martial law and blah, blah, blah. You know, and taking the power back, getting into an energy practice on a daily basis. I think that's the real difference of what I'm discerning in the book is, you know, what is the difference between your average citizen who's doing a great thing, whether it be a policeman who's really trying to do their job well, and a supervillain, you know, a policeman who isn't doing, you know. I think it's a shift of action and intention. And so that's where we start in series one. What is our intention? How do we get embodied to align with those intentions so that we are bringing our gift to the communities?
It's beautiful. I'm just thinking, Donald Trump, would he be Dr. Doom? What archetype would he resonate with? It's not a clear cut, is it? It's not as easy as that.
I don't know. What's a great movie? The Crimson Brothers. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. Donald Trump was very much a supervillain in this big soccer match. He'd be, I suppose, like the Kingpin, shall we say, in the Daredevil series. You know, sort of with other than the shaved head, the Kingpin, he'd have he'd have his top hat.
Who was it? Vincent D'Onofrio in the Daredevil Netflix series. Extremely magnetic, you know, very good presentation there.
Yeah, that series really, I really like what the potential of streaming has with the industry, shall we say, you know.
Awesome. Right, awesome. So Andrew, I'm thinking that maybe you're a bit like, you know, a Professor Xavier sort of archetype for this virtual school for gifted youngsters that you're forming, to embody anchoring practically, you know, energetic skills, you know, different modalities to actually help birth the superhero back into the world.
Yeah, that's nice. I appreciate that. And I'm just excited to really start to reveal some of these other people I've been working with over the last few years and really just give people, you know, that chance just to, hey, you know, just as where the attention is. I've worked out a formula on how we can capture people's attention and really make it fun and interactive. And I'm just excited to be able to launch the first series, obviously, with a lot of preparation, development, and actually the feet. You know, obviously, it's still beta testing. There's a lot of things to learn in this journey. But for the first series, I'm really pleased with the response and the reviews coming back. And we'll just keep getting better individually and, hopefully influence the collective story. I think this is the key question. I think people are realizing if we just get to a certain percentage of not all these experiments, right? Through meditation, through changing the crime rate, we're finding tangible proof that if we just have a certain amount of people doing these embodying conscious tools, getting more into themselves and really just grounding into the earth, that we will have an instant collective effect, just as Pokemon Go has taken off, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
I hope. That's my hope for humanity.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Multiverse, thank you for tuning into these space-time coordinates and chatting with me. It's been very illuminating. I'll definitely follow your progress and see what happens with the superhumans manifesting into the world. Mm. You know, Warren Ellis had a little phrase in one of his, I think it was planetary or what was that frequency one? There was something in the frequency. This idea that it's like not the Justice League, but it's like there's just us. That's the justice. It's like that's who we can rely upon. Is just us. And we need to form that just us league.
Love it. Awesome, brother. Really appreciate having a conversation with you.
Yeah, very beautiful. All right. Well, congratulations on you know, your accomplishments so far, and I wish you well. And the sky is the limit.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right. Muchas gracias.
Cheers.